for them to survive, especially those that are single mothers and have the responsibility of raising their children. Today, we want to highlight one in the scripture that she may not be popular in our minds, and yet she reflects some things that's going on in our world and also in our church. The observation of Mother's Day is a global celebration. 40 nations or more participate in this as they recognize the women for the sacrifice and nurturing that they've given to their children. It is a day which we pay respect, tribute to the heroines and to the champions that have taught their children many life lessons. A lot of what we learn, we did not learn in what we might call the formal education system. A lot of what we learned at the feet of our mothers. Can I get an amen? Amen. All mothers have struggled in some way. They've each given in order that their children may be blessed. The first celebration of Mother's Day actually came in 1907. A woman by the name of Anna Jarvis felt that there was a great need to recognize mothers. Now, Mother's celebration has been practiced in different cultures and even different religions, but she was the one that decided, we as the Christian church, we need to recognize the contributions that mothers have made and the impact that they've made. Behind every president that has ever sat and ruled, a mother had to be a part of that. Behind every person, whether they're male or female, that have gone forth in life, they've had somebody to prod them, someone to encourage them, someone to tell them and remind them, you can do this. And oftentimes, it was our mothers. This is not to discredit the fathers, but it is to pay tribute to whom it is due. And I think we would be befitting today if we recognize those that have done some wonderful things, both in our church and in our world, and the one that we call Mama. I certainly want to thank God for my mama. She's in heaven, and I thank the Lord that she had blessed me in many ways. Now, this is a day that has been commercialized. This is a day that, like other holidays, we now have to go to stores and we have to buy stuff to show that love, but I think an old-fashioned thank you might be good and fitting right now. Amen? Can you say that with me? Thank God for Mama. But we also want to look at some problems that exist in motherhood. The problems of raising a child and often by themselves because of an absentee father. Many mothers have endured the pain of child-rearing as well as child-bearing. They've gone through the pain of spousal abuse. Many of them have faced emotional, physical, and even spiritual suffering, all as a part of them being a mother. But if you ask them, would they do it again? They would often say, yes, in a heartbeat. That's a mother's love. I bring you into the story of Hagar because Hagar presents some problems that are common, not just for single mothers, but also mothers in general. What do you do when things run low? What do you do when anxiety sets in? What do you do when there are problems that exist? And we might say that this woman, Hagar, certainly had her share of problems. I want you to first of all note from the scripture that she was evicted as well as fired on the same day. This did not happen as something that we might expect from an angry and mean boss. It did not happen as a result of what we might call a vicious landlord. These were Christian folk that put Hagar out on the street. One thing I love about the scripture, it doesn't hide any of our sins, including the sins of Abraham and Sarah. It tells it just like it is. So if you're one that thinks that you're perfect, don't read this book. It will uncover some things about people that you, I thought they were good for. And don't get me wrong, they were good, godly people. But they had their faults just like you and I. Now, my issue with Abraham and with Sarah, a couple of things that come to mind. First of all, Sarah got mad at Hagar when she saw her son, Ishmael, persecuting her little baby, Isaac. Nothing wrong with a mama getting mad. Don't mess with my child. Nothing, no problem whatsoever. But the first words out of her mouth was, "You got to get rid of this woman and her child." Not thinking about the consequences and the harm or the problems that it may present. And as I think about this, wait a minute. It was Sarah's idea for this whole surrogate mother issue. She's the one who thought it up, say, "Hey, Abraham, I can't have children, so why don't you have children by my maidservant, Hagar, and everything will be all right." Well, it wasn't all right. It became a problem. By the way, I can't ignore the fact that, man, let me tell you something, it's enough to take care of one wife. You don't need a girlfriend on the side. Y'all ain't gonna let me preach in here. It's enough for you. As a matter of fact, when God joined together Adam and Eve, he only brought one wife. That's all you need. Look at somebody. No, don't do it. We ain't looking around today. So that becomes the issue. That becomes something that I find that here it is. Now Hagar is bearing the brunt of what Christian folk planned. Boy, y'all got quiet in here. It gets that way sometimes. We must remember that even though we're attempting to do what is right, was Abraham and Sarah justified for sending Hagar away? Yes, they were, because this was the direction that God wanted them to go in. If you read on in the New Testament, you will find out that Hagar represents the works of the flesh. Hagar, the works of the flesh, trying to please God through the works of the flesh. And the analogy that we have from the book of Galatians, you cannot please God by trying to do stuff in the flesh. Well, I'm going to please him my way. Jesus paid the price for you and me so that we could be free from every human effort. That doesn't mean you don't do anything, but whatever you do has to be directed by the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, without the Holy Spirit, you cannot please God in any fashion, shape, or form. You become a slave. And some of you are still enslaved to that old way of thinking. Well, I'm going to do this, and then God's going to be so pleased with me. No. Just believe in Jesus. Let him direct you. As a matter of fact, we just sung a song, something about the name of Jesus. It's everything about the name of Jesus. He's the one that directs you in all you do. So were they justified in letting Hagar go? Yes. This was something that the Spirit of God prompted them to do. God said to them, she must leave. But that did not mean that they had to go out empty-handed. Can I talk to y'all just a little bit? As Joan Rivers said, can we talk? The conversation between Abraham and Sarah should have been, Hagar, what do you need in order for you to survive? What do you need? Now, mind you, Abraham is rich. This man got silver, gold, he's got cattle, he's got land. Are y'all in the house? He's got a whole lot of stuff. But on the morning that they're going to evict her and put her out, guess what they gave her? A ration of food and a bottle of water. I'd be taking somebody to court, I'm sorry. I'd be saying to myself, look, no, you could at least give me a couple of donkeys so we ain't got to walk. You could at least give me, amen, enough food for a month or two or three. Oh, by the way, this your baby. How about some child support? Are y'all in the house? Anybody hearing me? That was his child. Granted, he's not the chosen one, but he's got his genes. One man complained, that went to the judge and said, "Judge, I don't want to pay child support for this child because they don't look like me." The judge told him, "Said, you feed them long enough, they'll look like you." So here it is. In one day, Hagar becomes homeless. She becomes unemployed. She has enough food to last a couple of days. And meanwhile, church folk get to wipe their hands and say, "We're done." It's not that easy, folk. The Bible commands us to show compassion, even to sinners. Even to those that may have fallen short of the glory of God. And I guarantee you, if you show a little bit of love, that's going to strengthen your Christian testimony. The Bible is, this book is honest in everything it said. It didn't cut any slack on Abraham and Sarah. It told it just like it was. So now, in your relationship with people, are you going to take the attitude of a Christian and say, "I'm blessed like that," but you're not? If you do, you're now going to be condescending to other folk. You're going to find yourself pushing them away rather than saying, "How can I help?" My mother had a saying, and it was, "Some folks you can't love close up. You got to love them at a distance, but do love them." Wise thing, Ma. So we look at Hagar, and we observe her life for just a little bit. Here she is. She's on her way. She begins to, and by the way, he didn't even give her a road map. Didn't even give her a place and say, "Okay, I would advise you going here or there. Give me a GPS or something." But she's on her way. She gets lost in this place called the wilderness of Beersheba. She's out there wandering around, and gradually she runs out of food, and she runs out of water, and now she's panicked. I bring you to the heart of many issues that single mothers face. While the dad is still doing his thing, sowing more wild oats, now you got a mommy with a baby that's hungry and crying. Now, I want to say this to maybe to some of the men that are online. If you've not stepped up to the plate by now, you should. Because that mama didn't get that baby by herself. And I might add to the fact that many times we used to in the old church, woman got pregnant, bring her in front of the church. My thing is, wait a minute, it takes two to tango. So where the man at? You got a man up. And as we do that, I believe that God will honor us. The Lord has never said to us, "There's no forgiveness for what you've done in the past." God offers us forgiveness every day that we live. But ladies and gentlemen, there comes along with the forgiveness this thing called responsibility. Do what you can. Meanwhile, back in the wilderness, here's Sarah, here's Hagar walking around wondering what she's going to do. She notices that the boy is becoming famished. So she puts him under a bush, goes about a bow shot away, 300 or 400 yards away, and she begins to cry because she said, "I can't watch him die." She's crying. The boy's crying. But there's good news. God in heaven is listening. Can I get some church folk in here to say amen to that? God in heaven is listening. And as the Bible tells us, that the Lord began to hear the cries of the boy. Now, why didn't God hear Hagar's cry? I don't know whether she was crying tears unto the Lord, but somewhere in the process, I believe that Ishmael had watched Abraham sacrifice, and he knew something about the God that he served. He began to cry. But maybe Hagar had the attitude, "Well, the Lord could have treated me better than this." Come on now. I'm dealing with another church folk attitude now. I ought to pray a prayer and then he give me what to be. Then the Bible said, call him up and tell him what you want. Number one, that ain't in the Bible. It's in a song, but it ain't in the Bible. It says that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Anybody in the house? But here's the point that I want to also make with some of you Christian folk. Just because you got one trial, don't throw in the towel and say it's all over. You got to come through something. I want to hear from some strong mamas in the church that have come through something. You knew that it couldn't have been nobody but God who was on your side, but then you depended on him as your way maker. You depended on him as your burden bearer. You depended on him because you knew that the Lord was going to bring you through. Do I have a witness here? All you got to do is ask the Lord, and God will provide for you in his own way and his own time. But now a couple of things had to happen. A couple of things had to happen in order for us to realize the goodness of God. This goes back to what Hagar represents. She's representing self-efforts, okay? But now she's been living in the household with Abraham and Sarah, so Hagar doesn't know who she is apart from them. Are y'all in the house? There comes a time, children, when you can't depend on mama and daddy's faith. You got to get to a place where you can pray for yourself. In the middle of a wilderness is where she found out and that boy found out there's a God in heaven. There's a way maker. There's one who can help me. All of his life, all of their lives, both Hagar and Ishmael were identified with Abraham. God wants you to identify with him yourself. You can't go on what mama did. You can't go on what daddy said. You got to go on what is in your own heart and what is in your own life. God wants you to find him. And if he has to bring you to a wilderness to show you that he's God, he's more concerned about your holiness than he is your happiness. Come on, write that down. Write it down. God will bring you to a place where you get on your knees. I ain't getting on my knees. Just watch God. You're going to get on your knees whether you want to or not. And so it is. They're in the wilderness. They found out that they were out of water. I love what the scripture says, that when the water was gone in the skin, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. As she sat there, she began to sob. Now, she wasn't watching him, but in her mind, the messed up situation kept replaying. Can I just digress for a little bit? Can I just digress for a little bit? Mamas, don't live in your past mistake. Live in your future. Boy, that's a deep one right there. Don't keep looking back. Even if folks won't forgive you, don't keep looking back. You forgive yourself and say, by the grace of God, I'm getting up from here. I'm going to move on from here. You cannot live in your mistake because you cannot live in your past. When people bring up your past, you bring up your future. You tell them, I love Jesus now. That was then, but this is now. You ever seen these programs where they have pictures of what you were before? Especially the weight loss. I'm still trying to get that. Why in the world they put a skinny person up there? Why don't they put a fat person up there like me? You know, and say, okay, you know, but never mind. Back to the sermon. You can't live in your past. And a problem that we have that's common in most churches, you're still trying to deal with what you did a long time ago when God has already washed away your sin. Quit living in your past. Quit living in your failure. Stand up and say, God, today I'm going to really live. Hagar represents that bondage. And some of you, your mind is still in bondage. Well, I messed up that, and I might as well go on and forget about life, throwing in the towel, giving up, throwing up your hands. It ain't worth it. It's too hard. Of course it's hard. If it wasn't hard, everybody would be doing it. But this is you, and this is God, and now is your opportunity. Somebody going to get something out of this sermon. Well, Lord, have mercy. I'm challenging you today. Do not live in your past. Do not live with your regrets. When you go to sleep at night, don't lay down with those old memories. Say, Lord, give me some good thoughts about what I can do tomorrow. Because he will never give you a day without giving you another opportunity. That's the grace of God. Amen? Amen. Now, let's see how God responds to this. And I want to do something. I want to find out what happened to Ishmael. You ever wonder that? Here he is. He's born of a slave woman. Now he's a single. He's a child of a single mother. What's going to happen to him? What about his future? The struggle that they had to go through. By the way, did I mention the struggle is real? A lot of mothers are having to deal with it today. Escalating prices. Folks in the White House and in Congress, they don't have a clue as to what inflation means. To them, it's a Wall Street number. But to you, when you got to go to the grocery store and milk gone up, can I talk to somebody? You go to the gas pump and now you're paying $10 more for what you used to get, amen, when it was a couple of months ago. I'm not trying to put down any political party. I'm just telling the rich folk, y'all need to wake up and live what we live in. You trying to take sides and do all of this stuff. We just trying to live and do what's right. It's us in a wilderness trying to survive. How many wilderness folk in here? So, let me bring up this issue. Yeah, you know I'm going to bring it up anyway. Don't expect the government to do for you what only God can. I had to say that. I had to put that one out there. I had to say it. I'm sorry. Well, I'm going to wait on my check. Listen, the government ain't going to never pay you what you're really worth. Get out there. Look at Hagar. The girl had nothing. Her former boss didn't give her a retirement plan. He didn't even pay child support. Now she's out there by herself. But watch God. And the Lord answered from heaven, heard all that crying. There comes a time in your crying that you got to say, Lord, you got to help me. My grandma used to say, oh, Lord, I want you to help me. Tears streaming down their face, crying those tears, but they knew that God could make a way out of nowhere. I feel my preacher help coming on here. In the middle of nowhere. Don't look like they got a future. But watch the angel of God speak from heaven. Hagar, tell me what's wrong. You got a burden on your shoulder. Now the water's gone. The food is about to run out. But come to me. I'll meet your need in glory. He didn't put a grocery store there. God didn't have to send a caravan by with food. The Lord himself made a way. The Bible said, listen to what the Bible said. When the Lord spoke from heaven, then she looked and she saw something. There before her was a well of water. Now, I'm going to tell you something. In the country, and especially in the wilderness, when you get a well, you got something. You got something. You now have a supply that can nourish you. Did you not know that food will grow when you got a little water? Now, you got to plant it. But thank God the Lord blessed her. A couple of things I want to close with today. Listen to what the scripture says. The angel gave Hagar some instructions. He said, first of all, lift up the boy. Lift him up. That's your baby. That's your child. How do you lift up a child? You lift him up in prayer. You begin to tell God, now I can't deal with all this, but I know that you can. I know that you got a plan. And that's the next thing. She said, now, take him by the hand. Look at this. For I will make him into a great nation. Now, the Lord had made that promise to Abraham, but now he's making it to Ishmael. He said, I'm going to take the boy and I'm going to do something with him. I'm going to tell you something. Some of you young men may feel like you don't have a whole lot to offer. Put yourself in the hands of God. Then watch God mold you and shape you into his own image. It says that they told him, said, now lift the boy up, take him by the hand. Mamas, don't stop praying for your kids. Amen. I know they knuckleheads. Amen. I know they're hard-headed. I know everything else about them. Don't stop praying for them, because they might be able to stop you from giving them advice, but they cannot block your prayers. When your prayers go up and reach glory, God says, I'm going to do something about it. Said, for I will make of him into a great nation. The devil is doing everything he can to destroy the next generation. If he can destroy one generation, he has destroyed Christianity. But guess what? Since Jesus walked this planet, folks have still been getting saved. Lives have still turned around. I know it looks bad. I know that where they are now, some are incarcerated, some are on drugs, some beating their head up against the wall, but that's all right. I used to be among the crowd that was headed in that direction, but the Lord turned me around. I want to tell you what God can do. Never give up on your child. Then God opened her eyes. I love that. Then God opened her eyes. Let me tell you the problem with a lot of you, and I got to quit. You're looking at the problem, and you're not looking to God. Right there in the verse, then God opened her eyes. Verse 19, read it again. Read it to yourself. Read it. He opened her eyes. What did she see? And she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And I love this one here, verse 20. God was what? With the boy. Now, I thought God was with Abraham. God was with Abraham also. But this is another promise on another situation. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he will do for you. I want to close with by giving you a couple of things that's very, very important for us to walk by as I close today. Can I do that? I didn't beat y'all up too bad, did I? Because I had to beat myself up. I'm amen. As I get the message, I got to deal with it first. I've got to say, Lord, help my attitude. Because a lot of times I forget about where God brought me from. Never, ever forget about where he brought you from. Don't live there. But always be thankful that he's brought you a mighty, mighty long way. Can I get some witnesses? So here's what we got to do. And by the way, I'm going to tell you what happened to Ishmael in just a minute. Here's what we got to do. First step of getting us through this wilderness and through the struggle is to get out of the comfort of somebody else's blessing. She was around Abraham. Hagar always depended on them to think for her, to do for her. All she had to do was her chores. And there are some of you that you think it's just that easy as far as my Christian duty. Your Christian duty is to trust God. You're not saved by the works. You got to stop depending on other folks' blessing to get you blessed. Look at somebody, tell them, get your own blessing. Start praying for yourself. Come on now. I don't mean to pick on you. I'm trying to get you somewhere. Stop walking in the shadow of somebody else's blessing. Are y'all still here? When I learned that there was only one of me, I said, you know what? I got to pray for myself. Mama can't help me now. Daddy can't help me now. They're still praying for me, but I got to pray for myself. Look at somebody again. Tell them, wake up and pray for yourself. Second thing Hagar had to do, she had to open her eyes and realize that she was no longer a slave. Boy, that'll preach another sermon right there. That'll preach right there. You're no longer a slave. You've been free by the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I talk to some African-American folk? Can I talk to y'all? Don't use your color as an excuse. Oh, Lord, I done got into it now. Quit saying that they treat me that way because I'm black. You're more than black. You're a child of God. And when people put you down for your color, you tell them, this is the way that God decorated me. Thank you, wife. This is the way that God decorated me. If you don't like his decoration, you go to him. Do not use your color as an excuse, because when you start doing that, now you're diminishing your own self and you're saying it's because of my color. But if you walk and talk with Jesus, your color does not matter. He will turn you into a champion. He will turn you into a victor. He will give you strength to endure any battle that you face. You don't have to remind me. I know I'm a black man, but I'm a blessed black man. And when people wonder how you got the things that you got and how you got to where you are, you tell them, put your hand on your hips there. I'm blessed like that. Don't be letting the devil classify you as a slave. Young people, don't grow up as a slave. That's why drug addiction is, I'm on another sermon. Lord, help me get out of here. The world is trying to put you under stuff because the world doesn't understand who you are. But you ought to know deep down on the inside, I'm a child of the living God. I'm born again. I'm filled with his spirit. Let me walk like I know God. Let me tell you something. If you were born in the house of Elon Musk, I don't know about him, but Bill Gates, let's use Bill Gates, okay. He's got some charitable organizations and such and forth, whatever. If you were born in this house, would you walk around like a slave? No, you'd have an attitude. My daddy got it. I can hear you now. And by the way, he and Linda, they split up, so now Linda got some of it. You'd be going, my mommy got it. You wake up and you start to realize, man, I'm living with rich folk. Come here, I'm going to tell you something. Your Father in heaven owns everything. Why you got your head hung down like you can't make it? Call on him. Well, what if he don't give me what I want? If he don't give you what you want, he'll give you something better. Can I get a witness in the house? Look at somebody for the last time and tell them, quit acting like a slave. You ain't in bondage anymore. You're not on a plantation. Lord, help me preach today. Last thing, you must receive God's provisions. So what I give you, three things. Get out of the comfort of somebody else's blessing. Well, second thing, quit acting like a slave. Third thing, thing number three, receive God's provision. Thing I like about it, every day God has fresh bread for you and me as a child of God. Don't be trying to look for leftovers when the leftovers no longer matter. Look for the fresh bread. Give us this day our daily bread. That's when you prove that you really trust him. That's when you know Abraham's bread gonna run out. But God's bread is made fresh every morning. Are y'all still here? The Bible says, so she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy as he grew. By the way, Ishmael, that same kid who's now in this wilderness of Beersheba, he's going to grow up. Well, he did grow up, rather. Had 12 sons. They became 12 tribes. And they dwelt near the eastern border of Egypt. That's how powerful they were. Not because he had it in him, but he had God with him. Mothers, if you're struggling, let Christ walk with you. Quit telling him what to do. You ask him what you should do, and he'll lead you in the right direction. Is that all right? Father, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your mercy. Pray that, Lord, you'd set us free from old thoughts, old thinking. You have a brand new plan for us. And, Lord, you want to strengthen mothers because you know what they face. But you would have never brought them this far to leave them now. And the devil's trying to prove you out to be a liar. But Lord, he's the liar. You are all truth and you are all life. Bless us now that we might enjoy your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Don't want to leave without giving someone an opportunity to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. He died for your sins, but he's also risen to lead and guide you. If there's someone online, you can write to us at pastor@crossroadbc.com. Go on our website, crossroadbc.com, and say, Pastor, your message touched me. I want to be a better person. I can help you. I'll give you the scripture, but the Lord himself will give you the direction that you need. If there's someone in here and you're without Christ, don't leave this place without him. You need him. You got to have him. So pray and receive him. Let's all stand. The doors of the church are open. And Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. If you're here today, maybe you want to be reconciled. Maybe you want God just to bless you, just to help you. Because you're no longer a slave. You want to receive his fullness in your life. If you're here, we invite you to come. Is there one? God bless you. I'm going to ask Brother Joe to come and close us out in prayer. Happy Mother's Day, Mother. I didn't beat y'all up too bad, did I? Amen. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. Amen. God bless you.
Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank you. Thank you for this message that you have allowed your manservant to deliver with such power. May we, O God, allow the Holy Spirit to let this message penetrate our hearts so that, dear God, we can continue to look up to you. On this Mother's Day, Lord, we pray, dear God, specifically for mothers. We are asking, O God, that you would just be with them, knowing, O God, that they have gone through so much. But you are, O God, a God who hears, a God who answers. So we pray, dear Lord, that you would just be with them and be with each and every one of us today as we leave the sanctuary, that we will convey this message, O God, to some single mothers who are struggling out there, who are looking, O God, to the world for help, but rather than looking up to you, may we encourage them. Use us, O God, for your glory. Use the mothers today to encourage other young ones, especially the younger ones, to seek thy face. Thank you for this day. Thank you for thy manservant for preaching such a wonderful message. Help us, O God, that we will be able to apply it in our lives. As we encounter, dear Lord, the challenges that awaits us this week, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.